Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Today I Learned, where we hear about dental dilemmas, daring escapes, and diaper design. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get started. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is episode 208. Hi, Shauna.
All right. Hi.
Hi. All right. Let's get right to it. Tell me about your week. What have you guys been up to?
Well, the member of our family who's been up to the most is Steve. I have a check-in about my husband.
Oh, that doesn't happen too often. I feel like Steve likes to stay behind the scenes.
He does. He gave me permission to talk about this, though. And it is something I've mentioned before on the show, because almost 1 year ago, he was like, oh, hey, why don't I get a vasectomy so you don't have to be in charge of, like, preventing pregnancy in our relationship anymore. And I was like, hey, good idea. So guess what happened this week?
He talked about it again?
Wouldn't that be a great check-in? I'm just like, he brought it up again. No, he got the procedure. It's done.
Wow.
Done and dusted.
Whoa.
Yes.
Okay, so tell us about it. Like, how did it go? Like, I don't know anything about vasectomies, really, except for that it's a snip snip. So
that's pretty much all I knew too. So it was complicated by the fact that Cece is once again sick.
Always. <God. laughs> That poor girl. Oh my god.
I know, she catches everything and then gets it really bad. Like, she had a fever for like 8 days in a row, and I had to take her to the doctor twice to, you know, check in on what is going on. And they're just like, I don't know, we can't find anything wrong with her. And I'm just like, what is happening? So that complicated, you know, his going in, his inability to like help out with the kids or pick them up or anything for a few days afterwards. So luckily his mom had been in town and she decided to extend her stay and help out, which was awesome. So I had some extra helping hands. But apparently it was like totally fine for him to just drive down to the appointment by himself, get the procedure and come home by himself like an hour later. Yeah, I had totally intended on going with him anyway, just as moral support. But I slept right through it because I know, I'm like, oh my God, I'm such an asshole wife, because the kids had woken me up like so many times the night before. And, you know, with Cece being sick, it's especially hard. And I was just like wrecked in the morning. I'm like, I'm going to go back to bed and take a quick nap. And I woke up and I was like, where's Steve? Where are you? I texted him, I'm like, where are you? He's like, I'm going to my appointment. I'm like, why didn't you wake me up? He's like, I'll be fine. So
that's a good man right there. Like, get yourself a man who knows you're tired and like knows better than to wake you up and will drive himself to his damn vasectomy.
I know. Props to Steve. He's the best. Oh, my God. I love him.
Well, to be fair, I mean, you had to drive yourself to like how many wound care appointments after your C-section with Elle? So
technically, I had to arrange rides from other people because I wasn't allowed to drive. But yes, I or to my IVF, you know, procedures and appointments. So yes, yes. I hear you. So apparently it was pretty quick. Like, the doctor does about 5 per day, among many other things, I imagine, because the procedure took about 10 minutes, he said. And it was pretty painful. He said the doctor was like about to snip the actual cord tube.
Vas deferens.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. He was about to actually snip it and cauterize it. And he's like, all right, about 50% of people feel this. 50% don't. Here we go. And just snipped it. And Steve was like, I was like on fire. He's like, it felt like someone kicked me in the nuts. And like the pain just went up like into my stomach. Cause apparently like their nerves are connected like from their balls up into their stomach and into their body. I was like, really? Huh. Learn something new every day.
Interesting. Well, I mean, I feel like they're the external ovaries essentially, right? So it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
By the way, I'm going to go full feminist and now just refer to balls as external ovaries.
The men in your life are going to love that. But I say power to you. Do it. Let's do it.
Thank you. Okay. So he was in the 50% that felt it. That's bad luck on the coin flip.
Yeah. And I was like, why didn't they give you some lidocaine or something? Like, why didn't they numb you up? And I guess like they numb up like the skin before making an incision. Mm. But then there's nothing they do when it comes to the actual tube. So just luck of the draw there. Yeah. Wow. Interesting. But yeah, he got some stitches, came home on his own. No wife to drive him. And he's been doing pretty well. Like, it hasn't been too painful. He took some ibuprofen and he's been taking it easy. The girls, you know, are fully aware of what happened. Al was like, I want to see your stitches. And like, Steve's like, okay. And he like started to show her and she's like, I'm bored. Okay, bye. So I don't know if she ever really got to look at it, but she's much more medically curious than I am because he's like, do you want to see my stitches? I'm like, fuck no. Who do you think you're talking to? No. I'm sorry. No offense, but you know me. Like, I'm Queasy McQueezerson. No.
You don't even want to see your own stitches when you have stitches.
God, no. No.
Meanwhile, I'm over here being like, how come I didn't get to see your stitches? Not that I really wanted to. But, you know, I do love a good stitches shot, you know?
Like, well, girl, there are images, and I know this because I stumbled upon them in our shared Google photo account.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. I was looking through his photos in our shared account. I'm like, oh, I need to find a really cute picture of Al and the what the? Scrolled away.
Oh my gosh. You're describing my whole life with my parents.
Yes.
Just medical photos everywhere. Yeah. But the truth is, I don't actually want to see his vasectomy scar. That's or stitches. That's okay. I'll pass on this
one. Yeah, no, I know. I figured as much. But yeah, it is done. I guess he'll go back in about 6 weeks for like a recheck of sperm numbers and make sure he's at zero. And there's an ironic twist to this story that I'm not going to get to until our final segment.
What? Oh, this is a mysterious cliffhanger.
You must wait or fast forward, listen to that part and then come back. Whatever you want to do.
Don't do that, listeners. Please don't.
No, don't do that. Anyway, so that's our big week.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he's feeling okay now?
Yeah, he's doing better now. He still has to wait like another week before he can pick anything up. So the girls are just like, you know, annoyed that he can't pick them up. And they're very aware of his owie. The other day, Cece lay on top of me at bedtime to get like little tickles and stuff. And she scooched on top of like my pelvis and she's like, you don't have an owie vulva. I'm like, no, I don't. She's like, mm-mm. Daddy has an owie penis. I'm like, wow, you're right. That's true.
That is true. Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on.
Okay.
I want to hear what's going on with you and your world this week.
Okay. So there were no surgeries, minor or major, this week in our house. Actually, no blood, as far as I know, like no scrapes or cuts or anything, which is a real banner week. To be honest.
Yes, it is. You deserve a trophy.
No. If you give me a trophy, like the following week, someone's going to break an arm. So we're not celebrating too much. We are just staying humble and moving on and knocking on wood. But I do have some big news this week, which is our renovation is done.
Wow. That is so exciting.
It is finally, after over 4 months, truly done. Like, there are a few little things that our contractor needs to come and check on, like little spot fixes on things. But everything is installed. Everything has arrived. We're not waiting on anything. It's like done, done, done. We can unpack everything and move into our kitchen and our bathroom and call it a day.
Yay! Do you love the remodel?
Oh my God, Shauna, I love the remodel. Like you know, it ended up being more expensive than anticipated and taking longer than anticipated, but not all that much longer. Like, we were given an estimate of 3 months and it took a little over 4. So honestly, that's pretty good. Like, in my mind, I was banking on 6 months because I was just doubling it in my head because I was like, you know, there's no way it's going to take the amount of time they estimate.
Right.
So I planned for the worst, you know, and got a better outcome. And so I tricked my brain into being very happy with that.
The magic of low expectations.
Yes. Although I have to say around the 3 month mark is when I really was hitting a wall, especially with the kitchen stuff. I was just like, please, I need a kitchen back. But thankfully, around like 3.5 months, we got like a kitchen sink with a temporary faucet installed and like the stove came and stuff. So like we were starting to be able to like slowly start using it again. But it wasn't until this week when like the cabinet people came back to fix some problems with the cabinets and the like permanent kitchen faucet was installed that we were able to like actually move into the kitchen, you know, unpack everything from the basement and all that stuff. So yeah, it feels really good. I love the remodel. Like, I'm obsessed with our bathroom remodel. I've shown you pictures of it, right? It's
it looks amazing.
I will have to post pictures of it because it's just hard to describe. But like, we doubled the size of the bathroom. We installed like a walk-in shower with a tub and this big like glass wall between the main area and that like the shower tub area. And it's got a double vanity and just a lot of space, and it just feels so wonderful, especially coming from our old bathroom, which had zero, and I'm not exaggerating, zero storage. It had no mirror for us to even like look into.
It oh my gosh.
Had a shower that kind of worked, you know, it was just not functional. So it feels like a dream. So I'm stoked. Corey's stoked. And the babies love it too. Like, they just want to like hang out in the bathroom and like open the shower door and close the shower door and go in and out. And like, Sebastian will happily just play in there for like a half hour.
That's so cute. The novelty is just like so intense right now. Have you taken a bath in that amazing tub?
I have taken a bath in the tub. I actually took my first bath in the tub before it was completely finished. Like, we didn't have the tub spout, but there was like just a raw pipe coming out of the wall.
Oh my God. I just imagine water spraying out of the wall every which way. You're covered in bubbles.
Pretty much. Like, I had to kind of direct it. But it was Mother's Day and I was like home alone and I was like, you know what? I'm going to take a fucking bath in my brand new bathtub. I don't care if there's a spout. And it was lovely. It's like super deep and oh, man, it's awesome. So, yeah, I love it. But I mean, the reason I'm talking about this is obviously we check in about our lives and everyone's curious about how that's going. But from a like parenting perspective, this is a huge development because it has been just incredibly stressful to manage the renovation at the same time as having a like young toddler and a 3-year-old. I mean, my 3-year-old, Augie, he's been at school most weekdays, so that's not a big deal. But with the baby, like, I don't think I realized how much ambient stress it was causing until it was over. Because it was like this thing of, I never knew when someone was going to show up at the house. I had like a vague idea, like my contractor would say like, oh, in the next couple of days, we'll have the plumber over. But like, I never knew a time or a day necessarily. And half the time, even if he was like, oh, we'll be there tomorrow at 9, it didn't happen. It was actually there at like 3 or not that day at all.
Oh, man.
You know, and I'd check in and be like, what's going on? It's like, oh, he got held up at another job. He'll be here later. But like all this lack of being able to control like people coming in and out when there's going to be noise in the house was like fucking ramping up my stress level so much. And I barely noticed it till it was out of my life. And suddenly I'm like, oh, I can put Sebastian down for a nap and just put him down and not like worry that there's going to be someone coming in to like saw pipes in the next room, you know? Which is a real thing that happened. And then the other thing is like, even if they're not making noise, I kept having this happen. I can't tell you how much this irritates me. Where I would put Sebastian down for a nap and I'd be like, I have at least an hour of peace and quiet just to myself. And then I'd get a text from my contractor like, plumber's coming right now. Or like, I'm at your front door. And you felt that, right? You could feel it in your heart. Like the rug getting pulled out from underneath you. Because like, you know, when you're the mother of young children, your quiet free time is so limited and so precious. And so, yeah, never knowing if that was going to be taken away from me was really stressful. But anyway, it's done now. we're good. And I'm really excited about it. And also, I recognize that this is like 100% a privileged issue that I had of our own making. It's like, we invited these workers into their house and now they're here? I can't believe it. So I recognize that I sound like a spoiled brat right now. But yay, this spoiled brat is very happy. So
that's great.
That's it for me this week. Well, it's not it. There is something else that's very exciting to check in on, but that's going to be my BFF. Spoiler. So I think we should move on to our special segment. What do you think?
Okay, indeed. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know, they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back, and this week's special segment is Today I Learned, where we share with you interesting facts that we've learned recently about parenting, pregnancy, etc. This is always a fun segment. I enjoy learning new things. Laura, I am dying to know what you brought to the table today. So why don't you tell us what you've learned recently?
Okay, so a thing I learned about recently was the engineering of diapers.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it actually was super interesting. I saw a video about it on TikTok, and then when I went back to check on it today, I had like bookmarked it. It had been removed, and I realized that like, oh, it's probably someone else's content that someone was just repurposing.
Oh, yeah.
So I did a little Googling, and I discovered that it was indeed the content created by a guy named Bill Hammack, and he goes by Engineer Guy on YouTube. Mm. And he has a pretty cool channel full of like well-produced videos of him talking about the engineering of stuff. It's really interesting. But of course, I am interested in the diaper part because while Augie is no longer in diapers, Sebastian is going through them very fast. And I have like marveled, you know, at the wonders of a diaper, of a disposable diaper. Like, I know that they are bad for the environment, and sometimes I have guilt about them, but I'm also just like, wow, these things are amazing. Like, they hold so much pee. Like, they're so convenient. Like, what is going on with them? Like, how do they even work?
Right.
So this engineer guy on YouTube, he's got you covered if you're curious. He has a whole video about it that's like 6 minutes long, and we'll link to it in the show notes. But the cliff notes are as follows. So there's actually three layers to like the inside of a diaper. The outside is actually made out of plastic. It feels like cloth because they're magic and make it feel like cloth, but it's plastic to keep all the, you know, moisture in.
What? It's like so cottony soft, like especially the Pampers that I use.
Oh, yeah. No, that's plastic. And it's apparently the same type of plastic as they use for grocery bags.
Oh, our poor oceans. Oh, my God.
I know.
Okay. That aside, continue.
Okay. So the three layers on the inside are a top sheet, a surge layer, which is like the middle layer, or it's also called a ADL, the acquisition and distribution layer. And then I know.
That sounds so corporate.
Well, if you think about it, this is like a truly engineered product, right? It's not just like throw something absorbent under their butts and like call it a day. You know, these companies probably spend tons on research and development to like get the best, most efficient diaper they can, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the absorbent core, and which, you know, I think we're all kind of familiar with the absorbent core because if you've ever accidentally like gotten your child into like a kiddie pool with a regular diaper on, or something that's happened to us, accidentally washed a diaper in the washing machine.
Ooh.
Have you ever done that?
I have not. I mean, I've seen the diapers explode like with too much liquid in them, but not the washing machine. Oh, no.
For some reason, it's happened to us so many times. Maybe we're just really absent-minded people.
Maybe you need to move the diaper pail away from the dirty clothes bin.
Well, thankfully, it hasn't happened in a long time, like a long, long time. But I think it used to be like we would just like take the whole outfit off. And I don't know. I don't really know. I would like to think it wasn't me doing it, but, you know, everyone wants to throw someone else under the bus. So the good news is it's actually not that big of a disaster if you wash a diaper. You just like gather up all the goo out of your washing machine, and then you like throw everything through the dryer like twice, and it dries out and the lint catcher catches it and it's fine. Yeah. So it's not a huge problem. And then you like do a empty load when you're washing it. That's like right afterwards. So Anyway, moving on. The absorbent layer, though, like that's the stuff that like swells up like to 100 times its size or whatever.
Right.
And gets really huge. And then if it gets too full, like you accidentally dip a kid in a pool, it will like burst out and all these like gel beads almost will come out.
Mm-hmm.
So, OK, so those are the three layers: top sheet, surge layer, and absorbent core. So here's what I found interesting. These are the things that I found interesting. One piece of information: the top sheet actually repels water. It doesn't like absorb it, which I found right. counterintuitive, but it's because you want it to be dry right by their little butts.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say is the really cool thing about disposable diapers is that the actual surface of that's touching their skin stays somewhat dry. Whereas yeah. like when we wore cloth diapers when we were, you know, when I was a baby in the late 70s, it's just like liquid touching my butt all the time.
Yeah. And so I guess because it's like an aquaphobic material, if you like gently drop a drop of water on top of it, it will stay on that layer for hours. Like this guy got a drop of water to stay on for 6 hours.
Wow.
On this layer. Yeah.
So how does the pee get through it?
Here's the other fun fact. Pee comes out at about 6 miles per hour.
I was going to say it's got to be the pee velocity, right?
Yes. So you're like,
6 miles per hour. Hilarious.
Yeah, I actually was like, that seems slow to me. Like, I've watched a lot of pee come out of my boys' penises in my day. I'm like, it looks faster than that. But anyway, the way this guy put it, he was like, it assaults the diaper at 6 miles per hour.
So dramatic.
So dramatic. Okay, so you have this jet of pee coming out, and then it goes to the surge layer, the acquisition and distribution layer. And this layer is super interesting, too, because it's like broken down into like capillary systems. So you don't want all the pee just like pooling right by their urethras, right? You want to get it throughout the diaper. So that's what this layer does. It like uses this fascinating capillary action where it goes from like big channels to small channels to like wick the pee throughout the diaper. And like he has a video of it and how it like goes all the way through. And then cool. it goes down to the absorbent core, which is made out of a polymer gel. So like apparently a size 4 diaper, which is what Sebastian is in now, can hold 400 milliliters of urine, which is about 13 ounces.
Is that like a cup and a half?
Yeah, actually, that's about a cup and a half. It's 1.6 cups.
That is so much pee.
It's a lot of pee. Yeah.
But I guess that makes sense, like when the overnight diapers need to be on for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. There's your diaper engineering for you. There's a lot of other very interesting little tidbits in the video I watched, but I'm not going to like recount the whole video to you. But I was very impressed with the 6 miles per hour and the 13 ounces of pee being held. Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. You know, it really puts into perspective the cost of diapers. Because I'm always like, yeah, diapers are expensive. But it's like, well, they're pretty cool the way they make them. A lot goes into it. So I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. And it also makes me feel better about like leaving Sebastian in one a little longer, you know, because sometimes I'll see that he has pee in it. And I'm like, there's not that much pee in there. Like, do we really need to change you? You're not upset. And like, diapers are expensive, as previously mentioned, like, and they clog up landfills. So you're fine. So I think I'm going to lean on, you know, leaving him in them longer now that I know about the technology behind them, you know, assuming he doesn't have a rash or something. And obviously not poop diapers. Those come right off.
Right.
Yeah. But that is my first today I learned. I just thought that was very interesting and wanted to share.
Yeah. Very interesting. Thank you.
All right. So, Shauna, what have you learned recently?
My today I learned has to do with teeth, which is not itself exciting. My today I learned isn't especially exciting either, but I thought it was really interesting because it was something I just simply did not know, never thought about it, would not have known what to do if this situation arose with my kids. And so I have to share it.
Okay.
Okay. So consider the situation. You are at, I don't know, t-ball practice with your kids and someone swings a bat and Augie's permanent teeth, we'll assume he's like 7, right? His permanent teeth fall out. Do you know what to do?
Okay. Well, first of all, like, I don't know if this goes to the level of phobia, like your fear of vomiting, but like this is definitely my big like gross out, I don't like talking about it, gives me the chills topic, like teeth getting loose or falling out, like ugh, it just gives me the chills. So just prefacing that, because I'm going to power through this segment. So first I would take some deep breaths because it would freak me the fuck out.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? I don't know what to do, because I feel like I've heard all this weird conflicting advice. And like, for some reason, putting it in milk comes to mind. But I have no idea if that's true or correct. Mm-hmm. Like, I have no idea.
Yeah, I didn't either. I asked Steve, I'm like, what would you do? He's like, go to a dentist. And I'm like, yeah, that's probably what I would have done, too. But apparently what you need to do is get the tooth back into the socket of your child's mouth within like 60 minutes and then go to the dentist.
This is a podcast, so you can't see the face I'm making, but it is a face of discomfort. Okay.
It's very like, it's very making me very squeamish thinking about it. Okay. So I learned this on TikTok by a dentist. Her handle is Dr. B. That's me. It's the letter B. Okay. And she did this whole thing educating parents, like, if your kid's permanent teeth fall out, you need to do the following things. You need to rinse it, right? If it falls, you're going to hate this, Laura. Oh my God, close your ears. If it falls on the ground, it gets dirty, right? You got to clean off the root of the tooth. And the best thing to do is clean it in saline if you have it. Or, as you mentioned earlier, milk apparently is a fine thing to rinse a tooth. So you rinse it and you take it from the crown, which is like the actual white part that you bite from. Don't touch the root. And jam it back into the socket. And then like give your kid a towel or something to kind of bite on to hold it in place. And I'm just like, what? I never knew this. Second of all, there's no way in hell my kids are letting me do that.
No way. Are you
kidding me?
Yeah, like try to get anywhere close to their mouth throughout this whole process. Right.
Blood and screaming and oh my God, I can't even imagine. I mean, maybe when they're older, right? Because our kids really don't have permanent teeth at this age. Elle has a two on the bottom, but I'm just like, wow. And she's like, well, if you can't get it back in the socket, the next best thing to do is put it in your own saliva. I mean, the child's saliva. The tooth owner's saliva.
Oh, my God.
Okay. If that's not available, put it in milk and then go to the dentist. Obviously, the second step of all of this is go straight to the dentist. Apparently, there's like an emergency kit that they sell. It's called Hank's Balance Salt Solution, the Save a Tooth Kit. So if you're like worried about anyone losing a permanent tooth, have this on hand. And I guess it keeps your tooth alive until you can go to the dentist. I'm so sorry, Laura.
I'm cringing, but it's important because my kids are rambunctious. And to be honest, like, I am shocked that they have not lost a tooth so far. Like, the face plants they have done, like, the things they've run into, and their teeth don't even wiggle. Like, it's pretty amazing.
That is really amazing. This is where I mention the caveat that don't do this with baby teeth, only with full-grown teeth, adult teeth.
Because with baby teeth, they're just like, fuck it, right? It's like, you'll get another tooth.
Yes, because they were going to fall out anyway. And putting it back in the socket apparently would somehow hurt the grown-up tooth that's like incoming, you know, that's up there in the gums. Yeah. But the key for this whole thing is don't let the tooth dry out, right? Keep it moist.
Moist. Good job getting like the worst word into like the worst segment. Moist teeth.
Moist teeth sockets. You're welcome. I'm doing a bow right now. Oh, it's so bad. So I'm just like, why? Like, I don't know anything about dentistry, but I figured a tooth is knocked out. It's just a goner. Like, you're just not going to have your own tooth anymore. So I looked it up online, and this is from betterhealth.au. I guess the Australians know what's going on with teeth. They say if an adult tooth is knocked out, there's a good chance it will survive if it's put back into position straight away and you seek help from a professional immediately. Every minute a tooth is out of the gum, the less chance it has of surviving. So I guess dentists or endodontists can save teeth and put them back in and they can survive, which I just never knew. I never knew that.
Well, I knew that the root is like, you know, alive, right? That's why your teeth are sensitive. It's not like you can just like chew on ice all day, or what? Sorry, most people can, but I can't. It, you know, you can feel your teeth when they do things, right? So that makes sense to me. Yeah, but I didn't. I just never went through the scenario of what to do. So thank you, Shauna. You have done me a service, because I don't think I'd ever seek this out for fear of being too squeamish about it. So thank you.
Well, now you know. Keep it in your back pocket for the years to come.
But do not keep a tooth in your back pocket. It's a bad place.
Bad place. Too dry. Not moist enough. All right. Moving on. You have another one for us?
I do. This one has nothing to do with teeth at all.
Good.
Yes. Okay. So my final today I learned is about Curious George.
Oh, okay.
The much loved little monkey that gets into everything and is taken care of by the man with the yellow hat. My kids love Curious George. I don't know about yours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they like Curious George quite a bit. Mm-hmm.
And we have some of like the really old ones, like Curious George rides a bike, and Curious George, what's the other one, goes to the zoo or the aquarium, I think is.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, at first I was like, oh, I don't know about these, because sometimes you get old books, like we got them as hand-me-downs, right? Mm-hmm. And then you read them and you're like, that's a little racist, or, you know, yeah. You read them, mm-hmm. you're like, that's questionable. Like, we had one, Bedtime for Francis, in mm-hmm. our, like, a hand-me-down box, and I hadn't learned my lesson about pre-reading books at the time when Augie, like, handed it over to me and was like, let's read this. And it's about, like, a badger, I think. Do you know Bedtime for Francis?
No.
It's, like, about a badger who doesn't want to go to bed, and the mommy and daddy badger are trying to, like, get him to go to bed. And at the end, the daddy badger threatens to spank the child.
Oh, my God.
And that's how he gets them to go to bed.
Ugh.
And it's not good. And I think I actually threw that book away. I was like, I can't give this to anyone. Like, yeah. I'm not dealing with this. So anyway, pleasantly surprised with the Curious George books. I'm sure there's some questionable stuff somewhere floating around, but it was the ones we have are wonderful and very sweet. So what I didn't know was Curious George's origin story. Do you know anything about him?
No.
All right. So I think a lot of people think of Curious George as like quintessentially American, you know, 1950s America, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out that he was created by two German Jews who were living in Paris at the time of the Nazi invasion of France.
Oh. Uh-huh.
In 1940, they were living in Paris. They were a married couple, Hans Reiersbach and his wife, Margaret Waldstein, or it could be Marguerite Waldstein.
Mm-hmm.
And they were originally from Hamburg, but they met in Rio de Janeiro, like this jet-setting couple. And I'm going to go with Marguerite because it has an E at the end. Marguerite was a photographer and Hans was a illustrator, and they started creating this little monkey that they actually named Fifi.
Cute.
And they were writing this book when the, you know, it's 1940, the Nazis are invading, you know, Poland, and then, you know, trying to take over basically all of Europe. And they were in Paris. So people were fleeing by the thousands, tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands from Paris at the time, right? Because the Nazis were invading the south of France and they were coming in, and it was obvious that Paris was in danger. And they had waited too long. There weren't any cars or bicycles available to get them out of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to look up this history because I never remember dates. But on June 14th, 1940 is when the Nazis captured Paris, right? Mm-hmm. On June 12th, 2 days prior to that, Hans, I guess, had gone all over the city collecting bicycle parts and assembling two bicycles from random parts he could find.
Uh-huh.
And they were able to pack up their things, get on these like bicycles that he put together by hand, and bicycle out of the city at 5:30 a.m., 2 days before Hitler's troops arrived.
Wow.
In Paris, yeah. And in the basket of Marguerite's bicycle was Curious George.
What, an actual monkey? What do you mean?
No, the manuscript that they had been working on.
Oh, it wasn't Fifi anymore?
Well, it was Fifi at the time. Then, so they eventually got to Lisbon, and then they went back down to Brazil, I think, and then they eventually ended up in New York City, where they had a friend who was in publishing, and they showed their book to this friend, and they got a 4-book deal, apparently.
Aww,
and they, yeah, and that's when they changed the name from Fifi to George, and that's how Curious George fled the Nazis, Shauna.
Wow, that is so fascinating. Oh my gosh, I love this couple.
And you know, they turned it into an empire, you know, like it's so recognizable. There's movies, there's books. And, you know, it could have never happened if they weren't able to get those bikes together. Yeah. You know, there's so many stories like that. And, you know, it definitely strikes a personal chord because, you know, my dad's parents were interned during the Holocaust. My grandma ended up at Bergen-Belsen concentration camp, and my grandfather was in a forced labor camp to the east in Ukraine. And like, I grew up hearing some stories about the Holocaust and about World War II and all this stuff. But I didn't hear a lot of stories because it was very traumatic for that generation. And yeah. I feel like similarly, like this didn't come out for a while because I think no one probably wanted to talk about how Curious George fled the Nazis. You know, he's just a cute, curious little monkey. But I found the story to be super, super interesting and fascinating. And it just makes me love them more now,
yes.
You know?
Yes, I want to support their empire even more.
Yeah, so go watch Curious George. I assume that, you know, their family members, whoever succeeded them, will get some money from that, some streaming revenue.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. But anyway, that's my last Today I Learned. I want to hear one more from you, Shauna, but I'm thinking we should do it after the break.
I think we should.
Okay.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by L'Olivie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With L'Olivie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter L'Olivie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at L'Olivie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicones, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LOLAVIE.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Okay, we are back, and Shauna has one more Today I Learned for us. Shauna, let's hear it.
You would be proud of me, Laura, to know that I also found this one on TikTok. I've been a better TikToker lately.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been watching the TikTok, the TikTok.
I do occasionally watch the TikTok. And somehow I came across the user, the baby maker. It's the underscore baby underscore maker.
Uh-huh.
And she is a reproductive embryologist. So she works with embryos in an IVF clinic. And I have just watched so many of her videos because I'm fascinated. So I went through IVF, but definitely went through it from a very like disconnected point of view, like all the information that was going on behind the scenes about what was happening with my eggs and the embryos and stuff was kind of just like hidden behind this like veil or something. I never even was curious about it really. I think I was just so emotionally involved in all of it that it was kind of like the doctors do their work, I do my work, and then magic happens. But now that I'm far removed from it, I'm going through her videos and learning so much about the process and what embryologists actually do. And so a lot of her videos are fascinating to me. But the one that I really love that I want to talk about that kind of blew my mind a little bit was the one about how they do genetic testing on embryos. So when my embryos were 5 days old, they took a few cells from the embryo and sent them off for genetic testing to check the chromosomes and make sure that they were all there and weren't too many, there weren't some missing, etc. And I knew this was happening, but I had this like vague notion of what exactly that meant. Like I was just like, well, how many cells does that an embryo at that age have and how many are they taking? And like, are they taking away part of her body? Like what will become her body? And will that affect her down the road? And I didn't ask any of these questions because I was just like going with the flow. But it's definitely like been something that's like occurred to me, you know, throughout the years. It's just like, what happened when they took those cells away from her back then? I don't know. And so I came across one of this user's videos where she shows on a microscope the embryo, and then this tiny laser comes in and removes about four cells from the outer lining of the embryo, which is actually called the trophectoderm. And that layer, I learned, is what becomes the placenta. So they are not taking any cells from what actually becomes the embryo, which becomes the fetus, which becomes the child. So this like weird anxiety, like fear I had that like they removed something from her body when she was like 16 cells old and they took four of them. I'm just like, well, what does that do to her body? You know?
Yeah.
Now I can rest that in, like I could put that to rest and be like, oh my God, they didn't take anything from her. They just took like a tiny bit of what was going to become the placenta and sent that off for testing.
That's super interesting.
Yeah.
That's great. Wait, didn't you have a marginal cord insertion? Did they take away that tiny little spot where it was supposed to go in?
That's where it is. I knew there had to be some kind of influence. Yes, exactly. So yeah, so she's just got all kinds of really interesting videos about the equipment she uses and what things look like. Like she has a video of what it looks like to actually freeze an embryo in liquid nitrogen. She talks about how some eggs will divide on their own without sperm at all.
Whoa.
So super fascinating stuff. If you're at all interested in the science of IVF, definitely check out her account. Like, I still have so many more videos to go and look at because I'm just obsessed and I want to know everything now.
Okay, instant follow. I will go find her.
Yes, the baby maker.
Awesome. Well, I feel like I've learned a lot today.
I do too. This was good. This was very good for our edification. But now should we move on to our BFPs and BFNs?
Yeah, I think we should. Okay, so we wrap up our show with a big fat positive or a big fat negative from the week. Shauna, you left us with a cliffhanger in your check-in. So please tell us, what do you got for us today? A BFP or a BFN? And what the heck is it?
I have a BFP.
Okay.
Okay. So in the first segment, I was talking about how Steve got a vasectomy, yada, 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 so he could take charge of the fertility of our union.
Yes.
And then I was like, but there's an ironic twist. All right. Here's what it is. As you know, you don't know. I haven't been on any kind of birth control for a little while. Like, I just kind of stopped, like, after I got my IUD.
Yeah, you had a whole saga where you were told you couldn't take estrogen-based pills, right, because of your migraines, and then you got the IUD, and that didn't work out so well for you. And so, yeah, I think last we heard, you got the IUD taken out.
Yeah, I got the IUD taken out, and I've just been letting my cycles go free, and we've been careful in other ways. But, like, I realized recently, like, letting my cycles go free isn't awesome for me. I get migraines that are triggered by the hormones. Like, right around my period, I always get a horrible headache. My moods are really affected by my cycle. Like, I've always had bad PMS, and, you know, I go up and down around that time of the month, and it's just so frustrating. And I just got to thinking recently, like, oh, if only I could get back on regular birth control. You know, I was on it for a little while. It was so great. I skipped my period altogether because I just skipped the placebo pills. My hormones were totally even. And that's just so much better for me. Like, why can't I get on those again? And so I decided to talk to my neurologist about it. And I told her that I'm pretty sure that the hormones from my menstrual cycle trigger my migraines and that I had been told I can't take regular birth control because I have auras sometimes, right? I have like one a year, whatever. It's very, very rare. So I was like, I was wondering if there's any possibility that you think I might be able to get back on that kind of birth control pill to just get rid of my cycle. And she was like, you know, you don't have other risk factors because the risk factor is stroke. Like you just have a higher risk factor for stroke if you have migraine with aura and take birth control pills with estrogen. She's like, you don't smoke, et cetera. You don't have other risk factors. And she's like, that study, when it was done, the pills they used had really high estrogen in them. And like nowadays, the pills have so much less. Like the one I was taking was low, low estrin, right? Super low.
Yeah.
And she's like, I think that the benefit would outweigh the risk for you. And I think that I'm going to give you the go ahead to get back on. And I was like, OMG, hallelujah. So I met with my primary care doctor to go over it with her. And she's like, that sounds fine to me. Let's give it a try. So 2 days before Steve got a vasectomy, I got back on birth control pills. Oh, geez.
So the couple who spent years with infertility is now double protected. I mean, you know, good for you.
Yeah, yeah, we need it. Yeah, so it's just funny, but it's like, you know, I'm mostly on it to try to regulate my mood and my migraines and help with all that stuff. And fingers crossed it works. It's only been a few days, but I'm really excited and hoping that this helps. So that's my BFP.
Yeah, I really hope that works out for you.
Thank you. Me too. I could definitely do with fewer migraines in my life. That's for sure.
Seriously.
All right. Anyway, let's move on to you. What do you have for us this week? BFP or BFN?
Well, I said I had a BFP at the end of my check-in.
Oh, yes.
And I do. My BFP is I turned 40.
Ah! Woot, woot. Ooh, ooh. I know that because I helped you celebrate.
You did. You really helped me celebrate. So what I wanted for my 40th birthday was to have a party and like have people over. And I did it parent style. I had like a midday party that was family friendly. And I invited everyone and like everyone I knew from Mommy and Me class and all my friends. And, you know, I still have a few childless friends left over, even though all I talk about are kids anymore. So, you know, hats off to my childless friends for listening to me all these years. And we had a great turnout. We had it in my backyard. We just had people wear masks inside and otherwise everyone was safe. And we got a bounce house for the kids.
Yes, so awesome.
A like 13 foot by 13 foot Justice League themed bounce house. And oh my God, the kids loved it. So cute. Oh, the cutest thing, though, I thought was when we had like the baby session. So we made all the kids, the big kids, get out and like had the 2 and under set go in there. Sebastian, oh my gosh, he was so cute. He loved it. He was just like running from one end to the other and crashing into the walls and tripping and falling and laughing his head off.
So awesome.
And you guys were there and Jen's family was there and my mom came. The only bummer was that my brother and his wife were supposed to come, and his wife, my sister-in-law, tested positive for COVID 2 days before the party.
Oh, such a bummer. I missed them. I missed seeing them.
Yeah, but we're going to try to plan a makeup trip together. They got their flights refunded, so.
Oh, good.
We'll have to see them another time, but that was the only real bummer. But otherwise, it was just like perfect. Oh, we got a taco cart. Mm-hmm. So like tacos for everyone and delicious food. And it was perfect. Like, it's exactly what I wanted. I felt so happy to have everyone there. And yeah, it made rolling into my 40s, rolling over that hill, easier.
Good. That's exciting. And it was kind of, well, maybe not a housewarming also, because you did have Augie's party there, but your renovations were done. So we got to see like your new kitchen and new bathroom and stuff.
Yeah, and Augie's party was super pared back, if you recall. Like, we had to.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We had to make it a lot smaller because of the Omicron wave. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it was really nice to be able to have more people over, even though, like, there's another wave, another Omicron wave. But it was 100% outdoors because that was in January. This is May. So yeah, it was just. It was just lovely. I was so happy. And I didn't have to clean a thing. I don't know who did it. I think you guys cleaned up everything. It was just like, I just got to enjoy myself. Yay. And have fun. And yeah, it was great.
That's so awesome. I'm so happy. And happy 40th birthday. Oh my gosh, you're in the 40 club now. Oh,
I am. It feels appropriate. You know what I mean? Like, it's, like everyone's like, how do you feel? I'm like, you know, I've got a mortgage and 2 kids. Like, it seems right. Like, this seems on the nose.
Yeah,
yep,
it fits.
40.
Mm-hmm. If the shoe fits. Yeah. Cool.
So, yeah. But anyway, that was my big, big BFP. And we're not done celebrating because next week we are going on a little staycation together.
Yes.
So
I'm very excited.
I'm very excited about that. And we'll have to talk about that next week. And, all we have to do is not get sick before that trip, Shauna.
Okay. All right.
All right. Talk to Cece about that.
Yes. Right? I need to have a sit down with her about this for sure.
Talk to her immune system. Be like, look, I got things to do.
Exactly.
But anyway, that is it for me this week. I think we should read a 5-star review and get on out of here.
All righty.
Okay. So it's an even numbered episode. So it's your turn to read one. Do you have one for us?
I do. The title of this review is 3 clapping hands emojis. I love it. 5 stars. Shauna and Laura are such a sweet pair of hosts, and I love that I can geek out on all things about my pregnancy when everyone else is tired of me rambling. Thank you. That's from D. Pippin. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you. You get clapping hand emojis right back at you.
Yes, right back at you.
If you love our show, will you please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review and talk about what you love about the show and why you like listening? If you do, we might read it on an upcoming episode. And spread the word. Let your friends know about BFP. If you have any Today I Learns that you want to share with us, you know we'd love to hear them. Laura, where can they reach us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can throw a voice memo in there. Just send it to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. And if you want to join the coolest group of people on the internet, just search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community. Request to join. Make sure you answer those two membership questions because it's a private group and we want to make sure you are not a robot. And then you will get sent straight through to the wonderful conversations we're having in there.
Our show's produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.